As we all know, we are indeed entering a phase of transition in this congregation. And I'm sure each of us has our favorite saying about change. And since I have the microphone, I'll tell you what mine is. It actually comes from my grandmother-in-law, who says, if you make change your friend, you will have a friend for life. Isn't that a funny saying? It's funny because when I told her about this, I said, Grandma, I'm going to preach about you this Sunday. I'm going to talk about your saying on making change your friend for life. And she said, I never said that. And I said, what? I have proof right here. I have it in your printed out and laminated sayings from grandmother, right? And she looked at it and she said, oh yeah, that was the last one in there, wasn't it? But you didn't have a pregnant pause. That's why I didn't recognize it. So I'm going to say it to you again. Make change your friend and you will have a friend for life. Some days, to be honest with you, I get into a fight with my friend Change, and the older I get, the more frequent these fights seem to get as well. Isn't that funny? I get into fights with my friend Change over my body, for example. Why is it that every single one of my conversations with my friends now have to do with, well, what kind of medication are you taking? Right? Or who even knew that these joints existed for me to have pain over, other than my massage therapist, of course. So all these changes that are taking place in my body, and let's talk about the political landscape, shall we? Oh yes, a lot of hissing and booing there, right? What kind of change are we talking about today, other than deporting DACA students, or other than, you know, which other cabinet member is flying a private plane somewhere? It seems like just one bad reality TV show after another. Doesn't it feel like I've seen that rerun before? I don't need to see it again. And who knew that I'd be one of those when we type of people of saying, oh, I remember back when we used to have a president without any controversies or any scandals or anything like that, right? In fact, we had to have a TV show called Scandal just to make sure that that was back then. These days, Scandal is the name of the reality TV show that we have. And I refer to even just a year ago as the good old days. Right? Again, not to get political here, but let's talk about another change that is really, really in my mind lately. Climate change. Let's talk about that. You know, whether this climate change is named Harvey or Irma or Maria, as Edie pointed out in Puerto Rico, climate change has definitely wreaked havoc on our planet. Believe it or not, the religious landscape has also not been immune to change. In fact, the largest growing religious group in America today is a group called the Nuns. And no, I'm not talking about those who put on a habit and join a convent or sing in the Sound of Music, climb every mountain, right? Not those kinds of nuns, but the Nuns spelled N-O-N-E-S, as in when forced to identify with a religious group, they say none of the above. And just when we Unitarian Universalists thought, oh, those are our people, those are our peeps, wrong. They're not necessarily joining our religious communities either. And in fact, millennials have a very different view of institutions and of what it means to participate in the life of their community. It is indeed a seismic shift in the religious landscape, and none of us can escape it. Upon reading the fine print of my grandmother-in-law's sayings, I realized that she never actually said, I had to make friend my BFF, right? That friend does not have to be my best friend forever. Because it's easy enough to notice that the changes I mentioned are not necessarily what I would call change for the better, right? I mean, can I get an amen? Sandy Kroll promised me yesterday that if she showed up to church today, she would say amen and be my amen section. But she's not here, so you all have to compensate for that, right? All right, so for example, there are some changes that are a little bit more nuanced, such as the hiring controversy within the Unitarian Universalist Association this past spring. How many of you have heard about that hiring controversy? So quite a number of you. If you haven't heard about it, please feel free to sign up with our newsletter. We're happy to tell you all about it. Suffice it to say, our president resigned 3 months before his term was up. Our chief operating officer resigned shortly thereafter. And then our director of congregational life, my boss's boss's boss, resigned as well, thereby leaving us with a gap in ministry and what could potentially have been an implosion within our denomination to lose all that leadership, right? And fortunately, the board, in their wisdom, decided to appoint not one president, but three co-presidents. And they're co-presidents of color, mind you, who decided to share their power with one another and practice pastoral care to the UUA staff and to the rest of our movement. And, you know, I call them the Trinity of Presidents. And I must admit, I almost had a reverse conversion moment there. Where I was like, I believe in the Trinity. Only in that very short instance, though. Don't worry. And so that particular change, one could see, has both what one might perceive to be negative and positive ramifications. And these days, we are talking about racial justice a lot more now in our movement. As a result, yes, amen, thank you. I'm glad Patricia is awake. All right, so famous Unitarian author Charles Dickens once said, "Life is made up of so many partings welded together." No wonder my initial instinct is to resist my friend change and keep her at arm's length. No wonder just the thought of his arrival causes my stomach to churn with anxiety. Furthermore, I realize that I have to go through the stages of grieving each and every single time I meet up with my friend, knowing there's always going to be a parting involved. Process theologian Alfred North Whitehead calls each moment of becoming perpetual perishing. As soon as a new moment is born, in other words, the old one dies, gone just like that. And he mentions that without death, in fact, there can be no novelty. Without a perishing, there can be no new life. How depressing, I think to myself. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a whole heck of a lot of grieving every single moment of existence. Talk about compounded grief, right? All I could focus in is the loss, the sadness, the anger. How could my friend change be so cruel? And how could I put up with him my whole entire life? No wonder many of us fear change. I think the Buddhists are onto something, however, when they proclaim that life itself is impermanent. So why bother being attached, they say? That will only increase your suffering. And I say, well, sounds simple and logical enough, yet so difficult to follow and to practice for many of us, which is probably why nirvana is such an elusive concept. Consider the pervasiveness of change, our reading says. Even the things that we think are so solid and enduring, like mountains and tables and chairs and ministers and pulpits and pews, are in constant response to pressures within themselves, like opinions of their church members and of preachers pounding on pulpits. I've always wanted to do that. Repent! And earthquakes in California causing us to bombard each other like atoms reacting, moving. What connects us for a brief moment is our presence here, our attention and mindfulness to the now, our interdependence in order to survive, our trust in the beloved community we have formed in this one brief, fleeting moment that will in fact be gone tomorrow. Nay, not even then, it will be gone as soon as the next millisecond arises. Indeed, we in this community have mourned the death of many church experiences past. I'll be completely honest with you that I am actually happy to bid adieu to my fundamentalist Christian upbringing and that church experience past. The experience that told me that God's love was conditional, that as a gay man, I had no seat at the table. So to that church experience, I say good riddance. Can I get an amen to that? Yes, there you go. Which was why I was so glad there's a spiritual home for me here within Unitarian Universalism. But I also came to realize that that home that I found as I stepped foot in Orange Coast Unitarian Universalist Church a few years ago is literally gone. That church building where we met, that cute little building, I don't know if any of you saw it on Victoria Street, right? They sold that 7 or 8 years ago. And their minister left as well. It's a good thing she's still in Orange County and I still talk to her on a frequent basis. But that's when I realized that none of us are here forever, not even ministers. There's no such thing as a forever minister. It's somewhat misleading to call someone settled when the reality is we're all interims to one degree or another. It just depends on how long our interim period is there for. And you know what? It's the same for every single one of us sitting here on this pew. None of us are forever members of this congregation either. And I realize that some members of Orange Coast are no longer there. Some have moved away, and some have literally died and left this realm of existence. All this sorrow, all this pain is all I could think of. And thankfully, my story doesn't end there, because as our reading indicates, there's also a sense of continuity bringing with it whispers of permanence. Don't you just love that? It's so poetic, right? Whispers of permanence. When I went back to Orange Coast this past summer to guest preach, I recognized a few of the old timers. I recognized their names. They recognized me. But you know what? There were actually a lot more new names to greet than ever before. And you want to know what this was due to? 45. Thankfully, after the election, progressive folks in Orange County, the majority of Orange County, by the way, voted for that female candidate, right? First time since the 1920s. Yeah, that's another amen. Yeah. Well, not to get political here, but I don't want you to lose your 501c3 exempt status. But it reminded me when they started bringing on all these new people and brought about by the change, an email signature that my friend Rabbi Shachman had. It says, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. Isn't that interesting? That the story of this congregation is like a cliffhanger, because now that they had decided to grow by bringing in all these new people, what would they do to sustain that growth? That with the change, they constantly have to renew their commitment to keep growing and changing along the way, such as what to do to expand their sanctuary, for example. Again, in order for new growth to emerge, the old must die. That without a cocoon, there can be no butterfly, right? You see, there is no such thing as, quote unquote, no change. What we're doing when we say we want to resist change or block change is we're basically simply trying to replicate a version of a romanticized past which most likely never existed to begin with other than in our heads, right? And ironically enough, what we do when we do that, when we resist change and we try to stop it, is we stifle growth along the way. Ever heard of an expression called make America great again? Right? The question I have in terms of that statement is, when was America great? When slaves were brought over to this country against their will? When Native Americans were given blankets that had viruses in them that killed the majority of their population? Was that when America was great? I'm sorry, but don't give me that old-time religion. Don't give me that old-time BS. Don't give me that old grand old party. I want a new one. I want to make America great now by having a party that would move us toward beloved community. Amen. Thank you. But I digress, as I usually do. So let's get back to my Orange Coast story, shall we? I noticed something else as I let my experience soak in after guest preaching there. Something mysterious, one might say, yet oddly comforting and reassuring. It was that continuation of the values that drew me in years ago, values of radical love and inclusion and their mission to increase the sum of justice in the world precisely because of their Unitarian Universalist faith. That, for me, was the loud whisper of permanence that I left with. So friends, whatever building, whatever staffing of ministry, whoever our minister is, these are all transient and fleeting. Believe it or not, as Unitarian Universalists, even our theology and our mission statement is transient and fleeting because we know that our faith always seeks relevance and it always evolves. And in order to do so, our language must also evolve. I know mine has, just even within the past 2 months. I added two new words to my dictionary the past 2 months, kafafa and dotard. Who even knew those words existed, right? So my language and my vocabulary continues to expand, thanks to Twitter. But the continuity, the whispers of permanence, those are our core values that last from generation to generation. Those never disappear forever. And that's the legacy that each of us leaves behind. And that's the legacy that Reverend Mitra left behind for us that no one can take away from us. These days, when my friend Change comes to visit, I try to be fully present and see it as an opportunity. I do still prepare myself for the sense of loss that she will inevitably bring, but I get excited by the potential gain of growth and hope as long as I allow myself to remain open to our ever-evolving relationship. It's still a very tough spiritual practice for me, and I still have to go through my stages of grieving each and every single encounter. But I'm beginning to realize that no part of our relationship will be lost forever. So who can say if I've been changed for the better? But because I knew you, I have been changed for good. Don't worry, choir, I'm not going to sing that song from Wicked. The values that I hold near and dear will never be lost, but becomes a whisper of permanence in an impermanent world. Perhaps you too have had a similarly complicated relationship with change. Perhaps on Facebook recently, you changed your status from being in relationship to it's complicated. right? Although which relationship isn't complicated anyway? I would advise that we all listen to my grandmother-in-law, even if she doesn't remember it, when she says, as long as you make a change, as long as you make a friend with change, you will have a friend for life. And to that, dear grandmama, we all say,
amen.